Please all be upstanding for the judge, His Honor, Chief Priest Caiaphas.
Before us, a most dangerous man who was arrested this very morning as he made ready to cause trouble.
Call the witnesses.
So, please tell us what the accused has done wrong. Is this true? Well, you're under oath. If you are the Messiah, please tell us.
If I tell you, you won't believe me. But you will see me sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, waiting to be your judge.
Are you the Son of God?
You say that I am.
We don't need to hear any more. I pronounce him guilty. And deserving of death for blasphemy.
Caiaphas was the high priest that year. This was a Jewish religious court for Jesus' first trial. And by now the Jewish religious leaders just wanted to get rid of Jesus, and it seems they would do anything. Actually, they wanted other people to do their dirty business. They wanted other people to incriminate Jesus, so they encouraged so-called witnesses to say anything. Anything which sounded like treason or blasphemy. In the end, they manufactured both. One witness said, "I heard him say he would destroy the temple." Herod's temple. Shocking. And Jesus' response to these trumped up charges was silence. Actually, Jesus had said, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." And when he said that, he was referring to his body, sort of like, "My body is a temple." But these religious leaders were clutching at straws. And I guess to the locals who loved the temple, it sounded bad. So Jesus was set up by false witnesses. What do you do? What do you do if people are out to get you and they don't care about the truth? They are just determined to get you. Jesus stayed silent. Even Caiaphas sounded doubtful that this was enough to declare the death penalty. So Caiaphas tried another tack. "If you are the Messiah." And now Jesus spoke. "You will see me at the throne of God, waiting to be your judge." We humans think we can judge Jesus. But on the last day, he will be our judge. We think that Jesus should answer to us. "Prove yourself. Show me this or that." But in the end, what these trials remind us is that we will have to answer to him. If we are people who like to pronounce on Jesus, we'll find we've got it wrong way round. Please be upstanding for the judge, His Honor, King Herod of Galilee.
Sit down, everyone. What a nice surprise. Jesus of Nazareth, We've heard a lot about you. Amazing things. Can you do something for me? Maybe a water and wine thing, or the fish and bread thing, or a healing perhaps? Have you got a clever story, or a scary warning? Just do something, anything. Prove yourself. Well, you're not even speak.
He's quiet now, O King. But behind your back, he's a troublemaker, a rabble rouser. He's a charlatan. He ruins the very fabric of our society. He thinks he's God's gift, a king from heaven.
God's gift? A king, eh? Have you got a crown, loser? Here, take my robe, and off you go to the governor.
All be upstanding. Please sit down again. Pontius Pilate realized his dilemma when he heard that King Herod wanted to see Jesus. He jumped at the chance to avoid facing things himself. So Jesus found himself in front of Herod. Herod, the puppet king of Galilee. Herod, who had heard so much about Jesus and was glad to meet him at last. But only for a bit of sport. And Jesus wasn't playing. It seems Herod just wanted to be impressed. Come on, Jesus, do something cool. And Jesus said nothing. What do you do if people just want to take the mick? Or show in different ways their lack of respect? It's probably best not to respond. Jesus kept his self-respect and said nothing. There are some people who seem to think religion is a show and want to be entertained. But that's so shallow. Jesus did amazing things to wake us up. To wake us up to who he claimed to be, to wake us up to God, to show us more of who he was and what he was about. But he did not do miracles on demand. He didn't do things to impress. Jesus would not be manipulated. Even when he had few choices left, stood in front of these courts, even then he would not be manipulated. Rather than play Herod's games, he kept silent. Herod liked to think he was in charge. He was king. But he wasn't in charge. We like to think we're in control, but we're not. The one who is king knows better and is silent for a reason. Please be upstanding for his honor, the Roman governor of Palestine, Pontius Pilate.
Sit down, everybody, sit down. Well, this is a fine mess we're in. You have brought me the accused, Jesus of Nazareth. I find he has done nothing wrong to deserve death. So I will have him flogged and release him.
Oh, don't release him. Release someone else.
Either we release Jesus, who says he's your king, or I will release Barabbas, the convicted murderer.
Release Barabbas! Release Barabbas! Release Barabbas!
What shall I do then with this innocent man?
Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!
Let it be so. I shall do as you ask. Release Barabbas. Take away Jesus to be crucified. But remember, whose hands have caused this? Not mine.
Please be upstanding for His Honour the Governor. Now, please sit down again. We're going to hear the Bible readings of these events before a final finishing of the talk.
Our first reading is from Luke. It's chapter 22, beginning to read at verse 66, and it may be found on page 90 in our church Bibles. Luke chapter 22, verse 66, page 90. When the day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought him to their council. They said, "If you are the Messiah, tell us." He replied, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." All of them asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? You've heard it yourselves from his own lips." This is the word of the Lord.
And continuing from the same place, then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered, "You say so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent and said, "He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee where he began, even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean, and when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then he put an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. This is the word of the Lord.
Pilate was the Roman governor. Pontius Pilate actually had some power. Power to send someone to their execution or not. He had the power, or did he? Because when he told everyone that he could see that Jesus was innocent and said he would release him, it only took the crowd to change his mind. Do you follow the crowd? If the crowd decides Jesus is best out of the way, do you follow the crowd? Pilate did. If the crowd prefers something immoral instead of the truth, how easy it is to follow the crowd. Even when we're in a position to take the decision for ourselves, how easy is it for the crowd to change our mind? Afterwards, Pilate washed his hands
as though he was no longer responsible, but he was responsible. He was meant to be in charge. He could have decided for himself. He knew Jesus was right. He just decided to follow the crowd. Crowds are notoriously fickle. Gang behavior is usually bad. So we need to seek the Lord and follow our conscience, not the crowd. There is no excuse. Washing our hands doesn't excuse us. We need to choose Jesus and the truth, whatever the crowd says, don't we? I guess politicians, like Pilate, are always in danger of following the crowd. But we don't need to. Some politicians are good at winding up the crowd. But don't get wound up. Just seek the Lord. Follow our conscience, not the crowd. Jesus, on that Palm Sunday, saw the crowds were with him. And then, a few days later, saw the crowds against him. But he didn't let it sway him, even when it meant suffering and death. To sum up, in Jesus' trials, it looked like Jesus was on trial. But it was really Caiaphas who was on trial. Could he resist the temptation to manufacture truth? It looked like Jesus was on trial, but it was really Herod who was on trial. Could he resist the temptation to play games? It looked like Jesus was on trial, but really, it was Pilate who was on trial. Could he resist the temptation to follow the crowd? Jesus didn't fail. He was taken away with his head held high. It was a big moment in his life, and he showed how big he is. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Please enable us to hear your call and enable us to follow you. Amen.